And could you join with me? I just want to say thank you to these guys for just for leading us. So thank you, guys. They never get thanked at Willowfield, so I thought it would be a good idea to do it here tonight. So thank you, guys. Could I have the first slide up? I just want you to have a look at this photograph with me for a moment. And does anybody recognize what's going on here? Anybody? I need you to talk to me, by the way. What is it? Trapeze, absolutely. Anybody ever been to a circus and seen something like this? Yeah. How does it make you feel? Nervous. Is that because we might be doing that this weekend? Or? As I was preparing this week for this two or three talks that I'm going to be giving, this picture, or the idea of a trapeze artist, was really impressed upon me. And I love that picture to sort of go on the journey with us tonight and tomorrow morning, because for me it embodies what it is to have a confident faith. What it is to have a confident faith, confident that the Lord will catch us. Confident that the Lord will catch us. And so I want us to explore over these next sort of three sessions together what it means to have a confident faith. What does that look like? And how do you build a confident faith? So when I think about a confident faith, I'm thinking about that those times when things go wrong. Anybody there right now? When things go wrong, but you have that quiet sense of confidence that the Lord will catch you. Maybe you find yourself in the storm right now, or you have been, or maybe you may be, but you have this settled sense of confidence that Jesus is in the boat, and so you're okay. Maybe it's having the confidence that you know that you are forgiven, that is settled in you, and that you live out of that settled confidence that you are forgiven. Beyond that, that you live out of that settled confidence that you are loved by God, that you are accepted by Him, that those things are settled in your life. Maybe it's about having the confidence to allow the Lord to stretch you. And I have a sneaking suspicion that is part of what this weekend is about for individuals here, and perhaps for the churches represented here tonight. That it is having the confidence to allow the Lord to stretch you, to try something, to step out in faith, to get out of the boat and have the confidence that actually you can walk on water. Having a confident faith. And also having the confidence to say no to yourself, say no to things in order to say yes to God, because you have confidence that in Him is eternal life. So we're thinking this weekend about having a confident faith and building a confident faith. And tonight, over the next three sessions together, we're going to be thinking about building a confident faith through three things. One, confident that you're being held by the Father. Secondly, confident that you are indwelt by the Holy by Jesus, and that you dwell in Him. And then thirdly, confident that actually you are empowered and will be used by the Holy Spirit. And seeing as it's Trinity Sunday this Sunday, I hope you're impressed by that. I really do hope you're impressed by that. We're going to be doing sort of three things together, well, maybe four things together, actually, every time we're together. We're going to be worshiping. I would love you to come to those times of worship with a sense of expectation that the Lord's going to meet you as we sing songs of worship together. And I hope actually you were encountering the Lord as we were worshiping there, because the Lord comes near when we worship him. And we're going to be opening the Bible together, and we're going to be doing that in John 14, 15, and 16 when we do it. The third thing is we're going to be hearing stories. We're going to be hearing stories of the Lord at work in other people's lives, and that often really builds us up in faith. And then fourthly, and here's the scary thing, all right? No need to be nervous. Well, too nervous. I'm going to be encouraging you to respond to what the Lord is doing, and to step towards what the Lord is saying to you individually and as churches. So I'm going to be inviting you to get out of the boat and walk on water this weekend. But we're going to hear a story right now, and I need a brilliant, thank you very much. I wonder, could you put your hands together and welcome Rebecca? Why don't we take a step closer to the... Rebecca, thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate that. Would you introduce yourself? Adrian knows you already, but everybody else, if you could introduce yourself.
I'm Rebecca. I'll just be bold and say I'm 47, which is your cue to go, you don't look that at all. I'm a mum and I'm a nurse and live in Belfast.
Tell us your story.
So I always like to start the story by saying I grew up in a lovely home, a really Christian home. My dad is actually a retired now Baptist pastor, so church was always a big part of our lives growing up. And I never probably made much of a connection to it personally. And in my early teens decided I would go a different direction. So basically didn't go to church, didn't have a faith, and really kind of was a bit of a wayward teenager. Drinking, partying, all the things you can't say in church circumstances. And then met a guy when I was sort of 17 years old, actually in Bangor, in a Boom Boom Rooms, if anybody remembers that one.
Anybody remember Boom Boom Rooms? Okay. Anybody used to go to Boom? No.
So, yeah, and I guess we just kind of fell into that life. We were going out for a lot of years. We bought a house together, eventually got engaged, got married, had kids. And then our second child, my son, was born in 2010. And then about 8 weeks after he was born, I had found out my husband was having an affair, and found myself to be a single mum of two young children. And on top of it then, figured out that we had a terrible financial situation, which I was sort of aware of, but hadn't fully taken into account. And that was just something then that I was going to deal with on my own. It was also at the same time as all the house prices crashed and our little house was now in terrible negative equity. I went through the next few weeks sort of telling people about the marriage breakdown, but no one knew about the financial situation. And it became more of a burden to me than actually the end of the marriage, if that sounds terrible. So then one night I was on the phone with my sister and it just came out and I said, you know, I think my words were, I'm not crying over him, I'm crying over my bank balance and how I'm going to survive. So she then told me about a person who had spoken at her church, who was from a charity called Christians Against Poverty, and maybe I would like to give them a call, which I did not want to give them a call because they had the word Christian in their title. And I had done a really good job of avoiding all things Christian for sort of 16 years of my life. And I was quite determined that I was in control of the situation and would handle it myself. And about a month later, swallowed my own words and made the call to Christians Against Poverty. They came, they helped. They were fantastic, and I strongly appreciated their help, but denied any Christian involvement. Anybody who's worked with CAP, they are fantastic. They will always offer prayer, and I don't consider myself rude, so I accepted any prayer that they offered, but declined anything further. The following year, they offered to take me and the kids away on a weekend to Castlewellan. They call it a discovery break, and I was very well aware that that would be not what they were marketing it to me as, which was a nice wee breakaway with you and the kids, and there'll be some child minding, and you'll have some time on your own, and a wee bit of pampering. And I kept thinking, do you think I'm stupid? You just want me to become a Christian? Which they did, obviously. But I went very firm that I would not be becoming a Christian, and again, at my own words. So, yeah, I think there was nobody more shocked than me, and perhaps Jim, who was my debt coach, when he came along and realised that what had happened. But interestingly, when I was sitting earlier thinking about tonight and what I was going to say, and said, oh gosh, that was like a Maybank holiday weekend in 2011, and then looked back at the date and what date it was today and realised it was 15 years ago today that I became a Christian.
Oh yeah, come on.
And I would love to tell you that it was a real like road to Damascus moment, and from that point on I was forever changed and never sinned again. It didn't happen that way. I think God very much knew I probably couldn't have coped with big changes in that way. He just made little changes, and that was one of the things. Somebody had prayed with me that night when I was determined I was not going to become a Christian, and someone said, can I just pray with you? And they said to me, like, why would you not? And I said, because I'm not good enough, and I do too many bad things in life, and I can't make all these changes to stop smoking, drinking, going out, doing all these things. And they said, but, you know, Jesus takes you as you are, and he makes the changes. And that was their prayer for me. And I still didn't go with it that night, but I woke up the next morning with a song in my head from whenever I had gone to church, which was Jesus Take Me As I Am.
I can come no other way.
That's the one.
Yeah. Showing our age here.
It's the good Baptist in me. And that is something that basically stayed with me, still stays with me 15 years later, where I just pray, Jesus, take me as I am, because I can't come any other way, but I pray that you make the changes in me. So since that, there has been changes, some of them not so good, some of them great. Life's not been easy. It took eventually 5 years to pay off £16,000 worth of debt. And then I was able to get divorced after that was done, and able to sell the house. And in that time, after a few years as a single mum, I had met someone else who came into life and is here. And then...
what's his name? He's got a name.
He's called Chris.
It's Chris.
So Chris, yeah, he came into my life when I did not kind of expect it at all. And... God had to do a lot of work in that to make me kind of believe that I could be with someone else and trust someone else and, you know, share my life with someone else in that way. And he's been very faithful in that process. But yeah, there's been lots of things. There's been health issues, there's been work issues, there's been family issues. And God has just seen me through it all. And I think as you're talking about a confident faith, I wrote this down because I knew I would forget it. Hang on. Yeah, I think that he has taken me from this place of no faith. And I would say that even when I prayed the prayer for him to come into my life, I had no faith in that prayer. It was very much, well, fine. You know, if you want this, you've got it, fine. It grew into a little tiny faith, and I was really scared when I became a Christian. I had a real thing about it. I didn't want to let my family down. What if I failed in this? Then that grew into quite a strong faith quite quickly. I came to Willowfield the week after I became a Christian. I was determined I wasn't going to go to a Baptist church because everybody would know me, so then I had to find an Anglican. I actually wrote a list. In my way of being a very controlling person, wrote a lovely list of all these churches in East Belfast, their start times, what they would be like, and then got to Willowfield and never went anywhere else. And yeah, then I think that there has been times when I've had a real lack of faith, and I say that quite honestly, that there's times where I just think, really, God, really, is this what we're at? And I think there's also been times where I've been really complacent in my faith and have perhaps been too comfortable in just thinking that life's good now, it's okay. And there's been times where I felt that God has really challenged me and put me into a place of a desperate faith, of just saying, I don't have anything else but faith in you. And there's been times where he's put me in real uncomfortable places. I am quite a controlling person. And even recently, to just be able to say, I'm not in control of this anymore, God, you're in control. So yeah, he's brought me through really tight of unprecedented times, and you're going to preach from John 14, which has one of my favourite verses, which he has prepared a place for me. And I just love that line, that he has prepared a place for me, because I know that he'll get me there, regardless of what I go through to get there. So in Clive's favourite terminology, coming into land, Clive. There was a few things that I felt that God had kind of said to me. I say prepping, it was 5 o'clock this evening after work, so it wasn't like a week of prepping, but one of those things was when I remembered today was the day that I became a Christian, and I think it was just that real realization that God is in every detail of our lives.
You're doing great.
That he wouldn't forget the anniversary of my relationship with him, that he would give me tonight to say, yeah, I see you. I see what we're doing. It's 15 years and you're still here. You're still being held by me. And the other thing that I thought that he was putting for someone maybe here was my family probably still do, but they always, I would say, lovingly referred to me as the black sheep of the family. You know, there's generations of Christians, and I was the first one who was not the good girl. And I was always very much kind of referred to as the black sheep of the family, and felt very much that when I became a Christian, it was the thing that my parents had prayed for so long. And I was taken as the prodigal, is the way that I would put it, you know, that it was all they'd ever wanted for me in life, was to see God and know God. And now, as a parent of older teens and into their 20s children, I'm praying that prayer for them, that they can continue to write their story and walk their journey, and in the hope and the prayer that God sees them, knows them, brings them to him. And I just felt that that was maybe something that was for people here as well, that we have prodigals in our lives, and it's that God sees that. He hears our prayers, and he wants to continue that journey with them to bring them back to him.
Can we say thank you to Rebecca? So tonight's talk is entitled Held by the Father, and that's what Rebecca has been sharing with us. Yvonne's going to come now and read from John 14, 1 to 14. And if you've got your Bibles with you, it would be fantastic if you could open those. If you've got one of these things, that might be helpful as well. It will be appearing on the... are you okay? I'm going to give you that. It will be appearing on the screen as well.
This is Jesus speaking. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Father, thank you that you inspired the Apostle John to remember all the things necessary for us. And we pray that you, by your Spirit, would be our teacher tonight. Would you please teach us, disciple us? Meet us, we pray, through the Bible. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. He's set against those hours just before Jesus will be arrested, tried, and crucified. It's not clear to what extent the disciples are aware of what's ahead. What is clear is that there's sorrow in this upper room. Hearts are hurting. I think we probably will all know the experience of a troubled heart. Let not your hearts be troubled. We will all know that feeling that we are unsettled inside, that we sense that we're disturbed, we sense that we are confused. Could I have the next slide up, please? Fantastic. This is in my photograph, but there was it was Christmas past. Yvonne and I took our daughter and one of her friends up to the north coast. It was the 20th, 29th of December, and I've never seen the sea so disturbed. It was actually quite intimidating standing out on the rocks of the Giant's Causeway to see the sea so angry. And that New Testament Greek word, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," that literally means a churning sea. Have you ever been there where your life feels like a churning sea? That's the picture that Jesus is painting here. And into that, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be overwhelmed. Jesus is calling his disciples to a place where such is their confidence in him that no matter what's going on around them, they do not need to be intimidated by the churning sea. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He's calling his disciples and he's calling us to a place of settledness, of quiet confidence in him, where the churning sea doesn't have the last word. And I want to ask the question this evening from John chapter 14, is how do we be in that place? How do we be in that place of settled confidence that we are not intimidated by the churning sea? And I think this passage wants to teach us three things, particularly about God the Father. Confidence comes from knowing you belong. That's the first one. Confidence grows when we live like we belong. That's the second thought. And then thirdly, true confidence comes in knowing the Father deeply. So here's the first one. Confidence comes from knowing you belong. As a Christian, I am family. I am not a guest. As a Christian, I am family. I am not a guest. I don't know whether you have many people who come and visit you, but there is a certain etiquette that comes with being a guest in someone's house. And from what I can understand, you should never stay longer than 3 days and 2 nights. Does that sound familiar? I was always told if you go and visit somebody, never stay longer than 3 days and 2 nights. Somebody once said that in a sense, a guest and fish have one thing in common. They all go off after 3 days. But Christians, when it comes to the Father's household, our family, they're not guests. Family's different. There's a far greater level of belonging if you are a family. Someone once said, a guest arrives with a bag, a family member arrives with opinions. Does that sound true? A guest makes themselves comfortable, a family member makes themselves at home. Verse 2, Jesus says this, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. See, to troubled hearts, Jesus begins by talking about the Father's house. And in Jesus' day, a family home was more of a family compound. And as a family expanded, so did the compound, with extra rooms being added. And please don't miss the promise when Jesus says that I am going to prepare a place for you. He's saying, I'm going to make sure that when you come home to your Father's house, there is a place waiting for you. Not as a guest, but as a member of the family. When Rebecca became a Christian 15 years ago today, she became family. I came to faith 43 years ago. I became family. I am not a guest when I come into my Father's presence. I am family. And having a confident faith goes hand in hand with knowing that I belong. I belong to the Father. I belong to the Father's family. And Jesus wants us as his disciples to know that we belong. He wants you to know that you belong. You belong to the Father because you have become a follower of his Son. And here's my question for you is, how deeply do you know? How assured are you that you belong to the Father? Could you ask yourself that question? Just quietly to yourself. How assured are you? How deeply do you know that you belong to the Father? Because if you're a Christian here this evening, that is your birthright. That is your birthright. Part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to impress upon us and to remind us that we are family, sons, daughters, not guests. We're going to be having prayer ministry a little bit later on, and maybe for some of us this evening, it might be an opportunity for us to come forward and say, I would like the Holy Spirit to remind me that I'm family. I need to know again that I'm a son. I need to know again that I'm a daughter, and the Holy Spirit loves to do that. And the Father wants you to be confident that you belong. The Father wants you to know with a deep sense of assurance that you are his. And maybe, as Rebecca perhaps was hinting at tonight, there may be one or two of us here who have not yet come to Jesus as his followers in repentance and faith. that maybe one or two of us here who have not, we do not yet know the Father deeply because we haven't come to Jesus. Can I say to you, this weekend would be a great time to do that. A really good time to do that. So that's the first thought. Confidence comes from knowing that you belong. What about, can I have the next slide? Thank you. Here's the second thought. Confidence grows when we live like we belong. Because there's one thing, knowing you belong. There's another thing, living out of that knowing. There's a difference between those two things. A little bit later on in John 14, Jesus makes a very, John 14, verse 18, Jesus makes a very powerful, a very emotive statement when he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That idea of being an orphan is a very powerful, powerful thought, a very powerful idea, a very emotive idea. And many of us, and I've got to say my life, myself included, many of us as followers of Jesus live more like orphans than we do sons and daughters. Any Les Miserables fans? Anybody love Les Miserables? We've got a picture coming up in the next slide. This is Cosette, who's a figure in Les Miserables. And she's an orphan. And she's rescued and adopted by Jean Valjean. And her life of neglect continues to shape her life, despite the fact that she's been adopted into a new family. And even after being brought into safety, there's a transition where she has to learn to receive what is hers now. To live not as an abandoned child, but to live as a cherished child. And for me, that is a picture of the Christian faith. Learning to live not as an abandoned child, but as a cherished one. You're not an orphan. And your Heavenly Father wants you to live day and day as a son, as a daughter. And the more we live out our belonging, the more our confidence in our Father grows. I've loved this last sort of 7 or 8 days when you get up in the morning and the sun's shining and it's actually warm outside. And what I've been doing is when I get up, rather than sort of sit in the living room and pray, I'll go outside and just walk around my garden. And I'll pray the Lord's Prayer. And one of the things that I have learned in recent years is when I pray that phrase, Our Father, I have been taught to pause there and to pray something along these lines. Father, will you help me to live today as your son? Will you help me to live today confident that I belong to you? Because I promise you, as soon as I open my email address or email box, all of those emails are there. All of the problems just go. And I want to live as a son when I'm answering my emails. Or when that phone rings, or you look on your phone and that person who you really don't want to talk to is phoning you and wanting your attention. When I answer that phone, I want to answer that as a son, not as an orphan. And I've got to say, these last 5 months have been particularly challenging. And it's just felt as if it's been one thing after another. And I have been really challenged in that moment to say, I am not going to live as an orphan, because an orphan lives like, where are you, Lord? Those are the words of an orphan. Lord, how am I going to cope with this? Where are the resources going to come from, Father? That's the language of an orphan. How I want to answer is, Father, I thank you that you're my Father. I thank you that you're already in this situation. Lord, this is not a surprise to you. This hasn't come as a shock to you. I'm going to trust you that you're going to provide me with my daily bread. I'm going to trust that your kingdom is going to break through into this situation. See, that's the words, that's the vocabulary, that's the thinking of a child of the Most High God. Confidence grows when we live like we belong. That we stop living like orphans, because that's not what we are. You're not an orphan. So stop living like one. Live like the adopted daughter, the adopted son that you are. You can trust him. The Father loves you. He is good. And we're going to finish up very soon. To use my favorite phrase, we're going to come into land. Can I have the next slide? Thank you. So true confidence is anchored in knowing the Father deeply. So confidence comes from knowing we belong to the Father. Confidence grows when we live like we belong. Confidence is anchored. It remains as we know the Father deeply. This passage, as it continues, ends by focusing on two questions. Thomas asks Jesus a question, and then Philip asks Jesus a question. And Thomas and Philip's questions are not dissimilar, and they both are drawing out what it means to belong to the Father. So Thomas, this is Thomas's questions. Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" So Jesus is saying that he's going to prepare a place for them. And Jesus says to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Thomas's question is a really interesting one, because you see from his question that he's missed Jesus's point. Thomas is looking for an address. He's looking for directions. He's looking for a destination. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" So, Jesus, what's the destination? What's the address? Where are we going? He's thinking about a route. He's expecting directions. Instead, what Jesus is offering him is relationship. When Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus is not speaking of method or a moral pathway. He's actually talking about a person. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to know the Father, Thomas, if you want to know the Father deeply, then Thomas, all you need to do is know me. If you had known me," verse 7, "you would have known my Father also." Speaking personally, my confidence as a Christian has grown the closer I've grown to the Father. And the closer that I've grown to the Father, the more convinced I have become that he is good, that his goodness pursues me, that he does run after me, that he is faithful, that he is trustworthy, that he is reliable. And I get to know the Father deeply by getting to know Jesus deeply. Those two things are connected. Give yourself to Jesus, and you'll get to know the Father. And then there's Philip, verse 8, if you've got your Bibles open, verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, and there's almost exasperation in him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me?" Thomas wants directions. Philip wants the miraculous signs. He wants a fireworks display. He wants this great revelation of the Father. He wants undeniable, conclusive revelation. And yet what Jesus does is to point Philip back to himself. If you want to know the Father deeply, then you need to know Jesus deeply. Jesus is not a glimpse of God. Jesus is the full, decisive revelation of God. Jesus is all that I need to know the Father deeply. Do you want to know the Father deeply? Could you ask yourself that? Just take a moment and ask yourself that question. Do I want to know the Father deeply? Then simply ask His Son. Ask His Son to help you know the Father deeply. So we're talking about having a confident faith. And that involves having a deep confidence that we are held by the Father. That allows us to stand when things go wrong. That allows us to not be intimidated by the storms. That allows us to know that I'm held by the Father, that I belong, helps me to know that I am forgiven, that I am loved, that I am accepted. It allows me to be in a place where I am willing to be stretched to try something that requires me to get out of the boat and walk on water. This confidence comes from knowing the Father deeply, from knowing that the Father holds on to you. How might we respond? I'll tell you what we're going to do. Would you stand? Let's stand. I'm going to ask the guys, our prayer ministry team, would you mind going over there? Would that be all right? This is Chris, and you've met Rebecca already. That's Chris, yeah. And this is Stephen and Linda and Yvonne, and they're going to be here. We're not going anywhere quickly. So they're here tonight to pray for you. It means that your prayer ministry team can have a night off. I want to encourage you to take a step tonight. And that might mean elbowing the person beside you and saying, do you mind if I get out of the road, please? I'd love to go and get some prayer. For those of you who are sitting at the edge, it's really easy. It's really, really easy. For those of you sitting in the middle, you might need to use your elbows. But ask nicely, and I'm sure they'll let you past. I want to encourage you this evening not simply to respond by yourself. There is something about stepping out of the row and coming forward and asking somebody to pray with you. There's something about that which says to the Father, I'm serious. I'm serious about this. So how might you respond tonight? Well, maybe you're here this evening and you experience the churning seas right now. Your heart is troubled and you're seeking a quiet confidence. And perhaps you just want to ask someone to pray with you. Would you pray that I would know the Father more deeply this weekend so that I have a sense of confidence in Him? Or maybe you're here tonight and you've followed Jesus for years and you would just love to know the Father more. And maybe that's just a simple way or a simple request. Is that you ask the prayer ministry team to pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal the Father to you more and more this weekend. And maybe you're here tonight and you haven't yet become a Christian. Maybe tonight's the night for that. And these guys would love to help you take that step this evening. I want to also, our team have been praying and asking the Lord for prophetic words for us this evening. And I want to share, I've got three of them, and I want to share those with you. And if any of these resonate with you, then perhaps this is an invitation for you to to be prayed for. Here's the first one. And it was the picture of poppies, or maybe a single poppy. And the seeds in the poppy are very, very loose. And the person who had this picture it was actually something that they see quite regularly when they go for a walk. That last year there was one poppy in a garden, and this year there are lots and lots and lots of poppies. The seeds have been spread, and more poppies have grown up as a result of that. And I as I was thinking about that, I wonder, is there somebody here who has a sense that the Lord is calling you to the work of an evangelist? And maybe you know that picture of somebody flying through the air, and that person's about to catch them. Maybe you've just been reluctant to admit that to yourself because it's terrifying. That's a terrifying thought. But maybe actually that is a call on your life that the Lord's encouraging you to respond to. Somebody had a picture of an onion. That's bad. And you know, for those of you who cook, sometimes if you just peel off some of the layers, you get to the good bit. And there is a sense that maybe some of us come this evening and we know that we have been living in a way that has not been in line with how the Lord wants us to live. And the Lord wants to do business in your life this evening, and that there are certain things that you just need to peel away, to repent from, and turn to the Lord tonight. And then there's a physical one, which is somebody who's an issue with the right knee. And if you have an issue with the right knee, then these guys would love to be able to pray for you for healing. Now, there are lots of ways in which you can respond this evening, so I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and come forward and be prayed for tonight. I'm going to ask the band if they'd like to come forward. We're going to remain standing if you're able, and continue to worship. And for those of you who want to come forward and receive from prayer, can I really encourage you to go for it? Go for it. Let's hit the road running tonight as we enter into this church weekend, as we seek to encounter the Lord. So let's stand and worship and respond as well.